last time I assumed follow your bliss.
Welcome to Blist, the podcast. I'm your host, Patch Drury. You may have come to this space looking for God, the podcast. And unfortunately, as Nietzsche said, God is dead. Well, okay, that's probably overstating a little bit. God, the transcendent, unembodied, disembodied force, is not dead as far as I know. And God, the podcast, is not actually dead, but it, like all the good gods, has descended into the ashes, burned itself out, and reemerged as a fiery, reborn phoenix of power. And that phoenix of power is called Blist, the podcast. And here in this podcast, what we're going to do is talk to people who are living their bliss, who are devoting their life to their highest enthusiasm, to the thing that they love, at the expense of anything else that would come at them. And I feel like this is the next obvious step for a podcast that started called God. And you might say, well, how is that? How is following your bliss at all related to God and transcendence and those things? I'm glad you ask. In the ancient spiritual Sanskrit language, there are three words that are said to be jumping off points into transcendence. The first is translated as consciousness. The second is translated as being. And the third is translated as bliss. Now, consciousness and being are words that are a little bit hard to define, could mean something different to everybody. But the word bliss has a pretty universally understood definition. It is, like I said, your highest enthusiasm. It is what you love. It is the thing that brings you life and gives life to you. And how is that related to transcendence? Well, think about it. When you do what you love, when you do what you were created to do, you often find yourself losing time. You kind of lose track of hours passing by. You forget about the clock. And so you can look up and time has completely gotten away from you. And when any culture or any religion describes God, what is the one attribute they almost always attribute to God? That is being eternal, being outside of the temporal frame. And so when we practice our bliss, we are setting ourselves outside of an awareness of time, because the only way we can interact with the world is through our senses. So if we don't sense time, we're not actually interacting with it in the way that we know. So so that some people may look at that explanation and say, that's dumb. And that's fine. You can think that. But it's been really helpful for me. And we are going to talk to someone today who is living their bliss. And it's Josh Nolan. He's a local musician here in the Lexington area. He lives in Stanton. I've known him for a couple of years. He's an incredible musician. And he's gotten married recently. He's working on an album. And he is living his bliss. And that's why I want us to talk to him today, because he has devoted his life to creating music. And I that's a worthwhile pursuit, I think. I think anybody who follows their bliss is following a worthwhile pursuit. Why is that? Because we all exist inside of these institutions, be it a city or a company or a church maybe. And the way those institutions become revitalized is by the influence of a vital person. And so if you individuate yourself, if you actualize yourself, then by doing that, you create a means to keep these institutions like society going. And so society's first obligation, a company's first obligation, the church's first obligation should be to the individual, to helping the individual find himself and find his bliss, so that in practicing that, the individual can keep things going, keep the world going. And so it's a lofty, heady goal. It's a lofty, heady way to think about it, but I think it's the only way to think about it. And so if you're trying to figure out your bliss, if you want to dedicate your life more strongly to your bliss, then listen to Josh Nolan and listen to how he did it and listen to the effect that it has had on him. And hopefully that will be an inspiration to you as well. Without any further ado, here's my conversation with Josh Nolan.
Put on your boots and grab your Bible. You won't know until you've tried your hand. You won't ever go home.
So I went to the dentist today, like I told him, had a front tooth filled.
So they put a little bit of topical stuff on there. So if I slur, that's why. And I apologize, but I'm feeling pretty good otherwise. I was hoping for Novocaine. But I felt weird asking though, so I didn't ask.
I got a podcast.
So what you're working on the album, a new album right now. Mm-hmm. How's that going?
It's going pretty well so far. I say pretty well, but not there's not a lot happening at the moment. Just demos, and hoping by the end of the month I should have it actually like at least a track.
Gotcha. So the first one, Fair City Lights, seemed to me, and so you can correct me or tell me this is wrong, but it seemed like a little kind of snapshot of Central Eastern Kentucky growing up, like teens into 20s, like that kind of thing. How would you describe it?
That's part of it, but that's, I always said that the record's not really about Eastern Kentucky, but that's the setting.
Gotcha.
Like you can't avoid.
Like, sure. Yeah.
Like I'm it's there, but that's not necessarily what those songs are about. But
right. There's a moment in one of the songs where it talks about being on a bus going to state.
Oh yeah.
And that is like, to me, that is like if you grew up in Central to Eastern Kentucky, you rode a bus to some kind of state competition. Maybe right. Maybe it was athletics, maybe it was a band. Or like speech or something, but you right. did that. And I did it. Yeah, it was really, it's a cool moment because you're like, oh, yeah, well, sure. And sure. So what's, if you had to say the new album is about something, what's it about?
Oh, well, it's probably more about, It's more like just a broader setting. I mean, like the first record was about, you know, in some form it's about myself and it's about people and it's about, you know, whatever. Like, and then this new one is a little more down the road of self-exploration, and I'm not very good at articulating. If I was better at articulating, I'd sing it in the song. You know?
Yeah. You've told me it talks about God
sure.
a little bit.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a big religious theme in it. It's sort of like finding the characters in the record are finding themselves. They're dealing with themselves religiously. They're dealing with their relationships, and it's all about faith and like exploring your presence and why your existence.
Things have gotten more esoteric.
Sure, yeah, things have gotten a little more esoteric, but not really because they're still about people. Like, I'm not writing about space aliens. And,
you know, like, it's not a Sturgill Simpson album.
Sure, I mean, the characters are still just people, but they're not necessarily Eastern Kentucky people.
Gotcha.
That's probably not the best way to describe it.
Well, I won't make you talk too much more about sure, what you're trying to.
I don't like to talk about what they're about. I like to leave it open, you know. I don't.
It's understandable. Yeah. So the point of this podcast is really to talk about people who are following their bliss, mm-hmm. and so you're someone that when I think of that, you come to mind. We had a conversation recently over breakfast in Stanton about how. You were working as a host at Applebee's and you kind of had this realization that I just don't want to do this. And I would rather devote my life to playing music. What is that moment like? Like what happens when those clouds part?
Well, to clarify, that was round two of the parting clouds. I went to college and then I quit college. I'll try to abbreviate this. I went to college. I quit college. I had a construction job. I went back to college. I quit college again. I had a construction job. And all of these, no matter what I was doing, and when I went back to college, I kept changing what I was going for. So no matter what I did, I was still just playing music. Like, I didn't go to class because I'd stay out all night playing music. Like, I was late for work because I'd stay all night playing music. And the first time, I had a pretty nice, pretty good job, like scale pay at the hospital. And they called me and they were like, hey, we're laying everybody off. And then later they were like, do you want to come back? And I was like, you know what? I think I've had a lot of time to sit around and think and, you know, spend the government's money. And, and I think I want to I think I'm not going to come back. So at that point, I was like, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I called up some guys I went to high school with, and we started a band, and it went pretty well for a while, and then everybody quit. And I was like, well, maybe this isn't it. You know, I think you have to, there's always like a struggle. Like,
sure.
You make that decision.
There's a refusal of the call.
Sure.
Is what Joseph Campbell would say, is you feel the call, and then you're like, no, not doing it.
Sure. Yeah. And then I went back to work in construction again, and you know, whatever job. Like, I tried several different jobs. And then I started working at Applebee's, and I was a hostess. I stick with hostess. Pretty, I was a hostess.
Pretty, I would assume pretty low on the Applebee's food chain.
Yeah, low and older than all of the other people that were down there.
And maler.
And maler, yeah. But yeah, and at that point I was like, you know, there's no point in trying to find all these things. Like, I know what I want to do. But it's the clouds part, and you'd see it, like, as far as that, there's the light shines through and tells you. But it's not really like this thing that, it's not this glorious thing, I don't think. I think if it's something that really has been calling at you, it calls at you over a long period of time. Like, there's, so it's really hard to pinpoint.
It's kind of a toothache almost, more than a, like, getting your arm cut off. It's a low dull throb kind of thing.
For a long time.
It's, you know, it's funny. I spent yesterday parsing and trying to understand. Carl Jung had this idea called synchronicity, where he talks about how, and Joseph Campbell talks about this too, that when you kind of decide what your thing is, when you become attuned to it, the universe starts doing things to kind of give you a helping hand or push you over thresholds. And so it sounds like maybe the hospital laying you off the first time was the universe saying, hey, this 9-to-5 thing may not be for you. There may be something bigger than that out there for you.
Right.
And so,
and I think with that being said, it doesn't necessarily, I know I talk about this, like, it sounds, you probably had me here so I can tell people to chase their dreams, and I'm like, I don't know. But, like, if it hasn't been something that's like a slow burn, like this long, dull pain, like you said, I think it's easier to miscommunicate that. And like, if you're out one day and, you know, like a guitar falls in front of you or whatever, and you go, oh, I must be a guitar player. Like,
yeah,
this is obviously one of the age old questions, but just because something's there doesn't mean that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do.
That's why I think this whole process of finding your bliss is really a process of understanding yourself and really coming into contact with who you are on a deep level. Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, there's a lot of people who get bummed out at their job sometimes, or think, oh, man, wouldn't it be nice to, you know, play music all night? But are they really cut out to do that? Is it really their burning desire? I think that's probably not a lot of people. I think everybody has a thing. Everybody has a thing that they can be driven towards, and a way for them to kind of express who they really are, but not everybody's a musician or an artist.
I think finding that thing doesn't always necessarily mean it's what comes easy.
Yeah.
You know.
It definitely shouldn't come
it
easy.
It definitely shouldn't come easy. If it's something that you're choosing to go ahead.
I will say it should be easy in the sense of, It's the thing where the way I always think about it is kids who are playing basketball. There's always one kid who's constantly like, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball. Because he's so supremely confident that if he has the ball, he knows what to do with it, and he's going to score. And so I think your bliss is like that. You know that once the ball is in your hand, you're going to know what to do with it. Like, you feel confident in your ability to do something that's uniquely you with it. Now, the process of getting into that game, I think, is really difficult, like you said.
Sure.
And so you are ultimately going to have to say no to some things and maybe alienate some people. And
you've also got to not have your hands on the ball to figure out
exactly
what's done with the ball.
So. Yeah. You can't just have the ball all the time. Right, yeah.
So, in like that, if it's easy, it's probably not necessarily. Maybe that's not to say that natural talent doesn't, you know,
this is
a whole other conversation. But, you know, like if you're good at something naturally and it comes easy to you, that's different than something that can be done easily.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think I could easily get off topic here.
That's okay. But go where you want to go.
I think we're at a point, like, we're in this age of technology, and, like, people have so many things in front of them. So we're at a time where everybody can basically choose what they want to do.
Yeah.
But I think we're losing the process of finding out what it is we're supposed to do.
Right.
And, like, you know, you can just, because this is what, like, I don't know as much about basketball. but like, you know, you can.
You know more than I do, trust me. Sure.
It's debatable. Let's go play a game, see who knows more. But if you, you know, you can hear a song, decide that you would like to play that song, buy a guitar, learn a couple chords, put out a record, and release it to everyone in a week.
Those channels are available.
Those
to
channels
people.
Are available. Yeah. And that's great, but I think it's stifling everyone's ability to find their calling.
Because there are so many options available to them.
Right. Right.
This will be a reoccurring theme in this conversation and probably this podcast, but I constantly refer back to Joseph Campbell, and he talks about when he was teaching college, it was in the 40s. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of said to his students, he was like, if you want to go make money, there are certain jobs that you know are going to make you money, like doctor, lawyer, blah, blah, blah. But if you want to follow your bliss, there's no guarantee of money and fortune coming from that.
Or success.
Or success, yeah. And so now I think in the 21st century, it's different. Like, I think whatever job you want to follow is, like, if your thing is getting online and talking about hemming pants, like, there's probably, like, you could probably make money at that, because, like you said, everything's been democratized. Or I think I said that anyway, but that's the point we're both making, is that everything is available to you now where it didn't used to be.
Sure. And in one way it makes it easier, and another way it makes it much more difficult.
Yeah, because everything is available. Because you have to figure out the one that's actually you.
And I think bliss is a funny thing altogether, because lots of things can be bliss. I mean, you know, ignorance is bliss, whatever they say.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think everyone needs to be an artist.
Absolutely not.
You know, or needs to be, and I don't say anything as if other things aren't something.
Yeah.
But not everyone needs to be, like, an icon. Like, not everyone needs to be whatever they think.
A YouTube star.
A YouTube star. Yeah. Or, you know, some people, like, we need a guy to drive the garbage truck.
Yeah.
You know, and some people are really good at driving.
My hope is that there's, like, somebody can find their bliss in that. And, sure. You know, and it's not that, oh, I love the smell of garbage. But, like, somebody who, I like having this routine, and then when it's over, I can go home and be with my family and play video games or watch TV or whatever. And my hope is that there's a bliss that can be found in that. That's what I assume happens, because I believe everyone has a bliss.
Sure. Yeah. I think you're right. I think everybody has it.
But yeah. But it's not always an artistic thing or a music thing or a art thing.
Right.
But yeah.
And being a garbage man or being a business, any sort of thing or person, sorry, being a business person or a garbage person is, like, these are just means to access your bliss.
Yeah,
like, I'm not saying that your garbage disposal job is your bliss.
Right, like, but the hope is whatever it is allows you to connect with your interior life and your interior self.
Sure.
So one of the reasons this podcast has become a thing to me, and I think it's important, is because of a quote that, and I'm going to butcher the quote, but it's basically the influence of a vital person vitalizes. Meaning, like, if you and I are living our bliss, then the people we come into contact with are going to benefit from that. That we're going to show them, oh, well, this is what life looks like when somebody has grabbed hold of the thing that invigorates them. What would you say, how are the people around you affected when you're playing music and you're kind of leaning into what you do best? Does it benefit them?
I mean,
that's kind of a hard question.
I mean, I think it affects everyone. Like, if it's being done correctly, you know, if whatever you're doing, especially as an artist, not necessarily in any bliss, but if what you're doing as an artist affects someone, then it's, you're probably doing something right.
Yeah.
Now, as far as to benefit them, I'm sure it benefits some people, you know.
Well, you just, like, let's say you just got married. Okay. And so one of the things your wife has to figure out is, oh, well, what my husband does means a couple of nights a month, he's going to be out pretty late.
Sure.
But what's the flip side of that? It also means, man, he's going to be really in touch with what he's thinking.
Sure.
He's going to be really expressive.
When it comes to finding your bliss. Yeah. You know? And I think knowing what it is that you're doing and feeling like it's what you're supposed to do is a good feeling.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would recommend that anyone tries to figure it out.
It takes a load off.
It does take a load off. And, like, even if, like you said, there's an alternative. There's a flip side. It's, I'm not home as often, but when I am home, I'm very happy, you know.
Yeah.
For the most part, there's...
As opposed to if you were working as a host at Applebee's.
Sure, I'd come home every day and I'd, you know, cry myself to sleep. Right. But... Yeah, I think to find, or even to search for what it is. Like, I don't even think you have to know what it is to be happier.
Yeah.
Like, I think the search for it is a really uplifting process.
I would agree with that. And I think it's a thing you never quite, I won't say you never finish, that's not true, but we are all constantly, I think when we're involved with our bliss, the story circle just starts over and over again.
Well, you can reach the top of the mountain, but, you know, there's plenty of things to do up there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you completed the circle, let's say, of becoming a musician, but then it's like, okay, well, I've got to put an album out now, or I've got to play. And so that circle just kind of starts over.
Sure, and it's different. It's different parts of it all.
Yeah. So would you say, so as someone who plays out and as someone who records, do you prefer one of those more than the other?
Oh, they're totally different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're... Playing out is this, to me, on a good night, not every night's a good night, but, like, it's this, like, you know, this experience. A friend of mine that I write with sometimes, he doesn't perform, but he talks about it in writing. When he writes something and he completes something, he's like, he's close, he feels closer to God. Like, he feels like he's done something, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the same with, like, performing. On a good night of a performance, you feel like, you know, like maybe you've touched God. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, but everything as I know here on earth, you know, like if I was going to be touching God, I feel like that would have been.
That's what it would feel like. What
happened. Yeah. And it's not a matter of playing to 100 million people. It's just like, even performing, like, if we set up in your living room and nobody was home, you know, like a good performance is a good performance and you feel good about it.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's what I'm always striving for on stage, is to feel that a little bit.
And so what is, try to define that, is that hitting all the right notes, is it...
I don't know.
Getting into it, you can't do it.
Yeah, I think that turns into, you know, tell me what being a good Christian is, you know, like...
Right.
Because as a Christian, you're trying to get closer to God, or is any, whatever, you're just trying to get closer to the... To the God.
Right.
And to me, music, art in general, is that. Is very...
it's an undefinable process, kind of.
Yeah, and you... And as far as, like, recording goes, it's a different thing. It's a little more mechanical, like, because it's not so instantaneous. You know, like a performance, you can practice and all these things, but, like, when you perform, that's it. It happens. It's a very immediate form of expression, one that's prepared for, nonetheless. But
sure.
And recording is, depending on the process, not so immediate. Like, there's always an immediate of the performance, but these days you can go back and edit it, and you can go back.
Yeah. Down.
So, recording to me isn't as much of a religious experience.
Gotcha.
As much as it is. Studying the Bible. It's my Bible study.
Okay. You know,
like recording is figuring out, oh, these things, and how do I, like, writing and all that is how do I do this? How do I put this together? What's going to get me here? So I guess ultimately the end goal is to put on a good performance, and I don't know. There's a lot of difference. Like recording and having a good record out and all these things are sort of different parts of it to me.
Yeah.
But writing and performing is a very spiritual thing for me.
So talking about bliss, one of the things, if somebody's asking themselves, well, how do I know if it's my bliss or not? And one of the things I kind of come back to is, well, if you're a musician and there's not an opportunity to play out, there's not an opportunity to record, mm-hmm. would you still do it? Like, would you still sit around and play music, even if it was just yourself in a room? And I get the feeling from you that the answer to that is yes.
You know, I've talked with Christine about this. Not, well, I say not long ago, it was probably a couple of years ago. But like
your wife.
My wife, Christine.
Yeah.
She, you know, because I struggle sometimes. I go, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Is this, you know, like we were saying, just because it's not easy, or
yeah.
just because it is easy or isn't easy, doesn't mean one way or the other.
It's, right.
So, and I go, well, I've had a writer's block, and, you know, I'm not really that many people know who I am. I'm not touring as much as I'd like to. Like, is this because I'm not supposed to be doing it, or is this because I'm not doing it well?
Yeah.
But, and I say, well, if, what would I imagine life like without doing this? Like, mm-hmm. what would I be doing if I just continued working a construction job? And I think it was tough. Like, there were two, it was like, I would either just play all evening, like when I got home, just mm-hmm. sit around and play the guitar and, you know, or I would distance myself from it as much as possible so I didn't have to think about it. So I didn't have to remember what I was missing.
Which kind of, I think, underscores its importance as much as if you sit around dinner all the time. You were like, this is too painful not to
At which point, it's you know, it's distracting you from the bliss.
Yeah.
Like, even if I enjoy playing music, I think I get to play music, it's great. But I'm really not doing it like I want to be doing it, you know.
Right.
But that being said, I'm not making a lot of money right now, and I'm still doing it.
Right.
So yeah. it's, you know, it in a way, I am just doing it for me.
Yeah. Well, I to me, that, like I said, that's what kind of designates it as bliss, because
sure.
is it something you're doing because it's financially viable, or is it something sure. you're doing because you have to, you're driven to do it? Mm-hmm. Because if you wanted to make a lot of money, like you said, there are avenues that are available to anybody.
Sure.
Dentistry, you know, being a doctor.
To any industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just.
And so it comes down to if you, because success, money is one way that we measure success, but it can't be the only way. You know,
sure.
that's what we've gotten to through capitalism, you know, good or bad, is like, well, the degree that you keep this machine moving is how successful you are.
Sure.
But there's got to be something else, I would think. And I think that's probably a good way to measure bliss.
I think you're right. And it's too, like if I didn't have a family, if I didn't have a wife and parents and siblings that cared for me, I would probably just play music until I starved to death.
Yeah.
You know, like there wouldn't be any motivation to do, but bliss isn't like a unidirectional thing. Like, just playing music isn't my bliss, you know. Playing music and providing for my now wife is part of my bliss, you know.
Right.
Like being happy with her in a relationship, and, you know, making sure my parents know that I love them, and my sister, you know, like,
yeah,
these are all parts of the bliss.
Yeah.
But those things lack when one thing, like, it's this, you know, everything's part of it or whatever. Like, if I'm not playing music, I'm not as happy, and I'm not probably not going to be as happy in my relationship with my, any relationship, you know, like, it stacks, if that made any sense at all.
I get you.
Yeah.
So, I would never be the guy who, like, my bliss isn't more important than my family. So I'm like you in that
sure.
sense. It's like, it's not a unidirectional thing. Mm-hmm. However, the thing about bliss, which I think is interesting, is that, like, we were, I believe, on some level born with it. And you and I both, if something, God forbid, happened to our families and mm-hmm. we were suddenly alone, I think the sorrow of that would probably drive our bliss a little bit. Sure. It would become fuel for that. So there's a way to explain that without it, because ultimately on the surface, it sounds like you're saying, well, the bliss supersedes everything, you know, but, sure. But I think maybe...
Well, I think the bliss is everything. Like, I think it all has to, like, bliss is affected by bliss or lack of bliss.
Okay. You know? Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Sort of figuring this out as I'm saying.
That's fine. But, yeah.
Like, if you're achieving bliss here, you're much more likely to search for it, at least in other aspects.
Yeah.
And, but you really, I think you have to, well, you know, I think this is a pretty simple statement, but you have to know what's up with yourself before you can make other people happy.
Exactly.
And I think that's a matter of bliss. Like, yeah. You have to know, or at least search for your bliss and be happy about looking for it in order for you to be happy about looking for a wife or a new dog or whatever it is, you know. But back on the statement that ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not concerned with finding your bliss, then...
Have you found your bliss?
Have you found your bliss? Exactly. Like, if there is nothing pulling at you...
Yeah.
Then maybe you're already grounded. Maybe you're already...
Yeah. Been pulled. I think this is that moment where it becomes important to agree on definitions.
Sure.
And so if bliss is just happiness, then phrases like ignorance is bliss make a lot of sense. Sure. Because if you don't know what you don't know, you're going to be happy.
Sure.
If you define bliss, like I think I do, a little more specifically as your highest enthusiasm, the thing that drives you and that you spend your free time thinking about and doing,
sure.
Then I don't think ignorance could be that. Maybe
it could be that.
could be. I'm going to think about that for a while.
Yeah.
So if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, music is my highest enthusiasm. It is my bliss. I want to devote my life to music. How do you do it? What's the first step?
The first step is to consider that maybe it's not.
Okay. And so be sure.
Be sure. Be 100% sure. Or, you know, not even nothing's been. Be pretty sure.
As sure as you can.
As sure as you can be. I'm not going to say you should go try a bunch of other things because that could just be wasting time.
Right.
You know, if you're trying to find your bliss and be monetarily successful with it, you kind of have to get on it.
Right.
You know, you can't spend 70 years of your life trying to figure out if you should play music by not making any money or doing anything.
Right.
But at the same time, if that's really what makes you happy, then I think the search is just as much
possible. Okay.
But I think if you're going to try to be a musician or an artist, you talk to artists, find like-minded people, make sure that the things that they are saying are things that you don't necessarily agree with, but things that make you think. If you're not thinking about it, then you probably don't care about it.
Yeah. So figure out what the things that you may not have thought of are, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And so
perspective. It's always, you know, get as many perspectives as you can.
So once you're sure, like, yeah, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be a musician. What's a good first step? What was your first step?
Lots of tripping. Lots of awful first steps. I think once you've decided to be a musician, it's, you know, research and do it. Don't hesitate. Like, you really got to get out there and do it. You've got to, again, I could talk about this all day, but you don't have to, don't get out there before you need to, but if you're really into it, you'll know when it's right.
I have a buddy who owns a restaurant, and a cable guy was at his house one day. Mm-hmm. And the cable guy finds out the guy owns a restaurant. He's like, oh, you know what? I've always wanted to have a sandwich place. I really love making sandwiches. I've always wanted to make sandwiches. And sure. The guy asked him, he said, well, are you making sandwiches? And the guy was like, no. And he said, well, make some sandwiches. Sure. And so the next time the cable guy came, he brought him a sandwich.
Yeah.
And I've appreciated that story because there's a simple clarity to it. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, the first step is almost always... well, do the thing, you know, like if you, so I think I hear you saying, if you want to play music,
just
play music. Yeah. Like you're not going to get on a stage at Moon Tower the first time you're playing, but somewhere, like even like you said, even if it's just in a living room with a bunch of guys,
sure,
you need to be playing music.
And you've got to play music. Like, you've got to play music by yourself, you've got to play music with people, and then you've got to play music in front of people. And I think you really need to play music in front of people who are going to tell you that you shouldn't play music. Because if you can say, if you can do anything, if you're in a room full of people who support you, of course you're going to feel like that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, if you're being rewarded for doing it.
But if you still want to do it after you bomb the first time.
If you still want to do it after you bomb, you're probably on the right course. Again, it's not necessarily easy. It's
going to be difficult. You know? Right.
So go play in front of your friends. Get some encouragement. Let them tell you you do a pretty good, like, honest, like, you're doing a good job or you're not. And then once you get that encouragement to go play in front of people, go find a bunch of people you don't know and
play in front of them.
Play in front of them.
Okay.
And,
Then you'll know at least if you're on the right track.
Sure.
It sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. All right. Well, Josh, man, thank you for your time. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Coming and chatting.
Thanks for letting me ramble. And
well, this is a safe space for that. Trust me.
Sure. I'll just do a Facebook Live video so I can ramble after this.
That sounds like a good
idea. What did he mean?
Here's what I meant. Here's what I should have said. Yeah. So, well, thanks, man. Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. On the skyline